Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 306. If you're listening on 1120 AM, you can do better than that. You can go to 98.7 FM, and it sounds like FM, or you can just download the Odyssey app, which is the way I listen to my car, to Total Information AM when I'm going to see my mom at the nursing home, and it sounds perfect. It sounds big and ballsy and great, especially when it's John Hancock talking. He's got that big voice. So go download that Odyssey app or try 98.7 FM if you're anywhere, really anywhere within the St. Louis area. I used to say between the rivers along Highway 40, but you can be down Highway 44 pretty far and pick it up. Stairway to Kevin.
All right. To me, this was an interesting thing. So this is an archaeological find that leads me to a question about where we sit right now. So they found archaeologists were digging around Pompeii. They're just researching this area that they've been researching for a long time. And they found some cave drawings, essentially, like little scratches, paintings, that were done by kids. They figured out that they were done by kids, and they depict really severe acts of violence.
Against them?
No, just like gladiators.
Oh, they just witnessed it.
They were witness to hunters being killed by animals and killing animals. They were witness to gladiators just slaughtering each other in the arena. And I found it fascinating that kids, this is 2,000 years ago, right? I mean, this is like I don't remember exactly when the volcano blew, but I mean, I think this was from like 60, 70, maybe 79 AD, something like that. But again, 2,000 years ago, children were exposed to extreme violence on a regular basis, and not just video games, social media, TV shows, movies. They saw it in real life. They probably saw their fathers beating their mothers in a lot of those cases, right? That was a common thing in previous generations. And a couple thousand years ago, it wouldn't be looked at the same way that it is now. It would just be, well, he's the man. He can do what he wants. So what I'm fascinated by is if children at that time could see all of those things, real in person, like real in life, see it, and yet we're all still here and the progression of humanity has gone along as it has, do we sweat that stuff too much now? Or is our preoccupation with not exposing those things actually helping us keep from seeing those things in real life? Like, we're not doing those things. We are not as violent a world as we were 2,000 years ago. I mean, that's a fact. The violence that you see now is much more isolated. It's much more rare, and that's why it stands out.
I would, my first thought when you said that would be, just because the species continued did not mean that it was optimal.
Right, right.
Yeah, and so I would think that at any time, there's a difference, I think, between natural violence, like, oh my God, my uncle got eaten by a lion.
Right, right,
and,
right.
And unnatural violence, like gladiators or your dad's beating your mom. And I would think in any circumstance, any of those, even Uncle Roy getting eaten by a lion, is going to be traumatizing.
Right.
But seeing unnatural violence would be especially so, and possibly lead to further violence when this kid grows up, he does the same thing. So I would say that it's always suboptimal and probably ruins a lot of human lives, and we have gotten much, much better about it.
Yes.
However, with the rule that two things can be true at once, I'm not a video game person, but I think we probably do clutch our pearls a little much these days.
Some of those things.
It's like Bill Maher's always talking about, his big thing is racism. That, you know, live in the year you're in. Don't live in 1952. Live in 2024. Mm-hmm. And I feel the same way about this stuff, that every generation is going to have something horrific to affect kids, but we are better than we've been before.
I think that's true, too. I think it's better the way we are now. It's just interesting because, again, you know, the example from...
They'd see it every day.
Right. The example that I'm talking about 2,000 years, but fast forward. Go to the Middle Ages. There were beheadings in public all the time.
Yeah.
Go 60 years ago, there were lynchings in the United States of America, and kids were seeing that. And I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm glad that we're going in the right direction, right? I would prefer that we expose everyone to less of those kind of gruesome things because we don't want to keep doing them, right? When a kid learns, or kids as generations learn that something is normal and okay, well, then they're going to do it.
Yeah.
Right? When you grow up, that's going to be normal and okay to you. So I'm glad it's gone the path that it has. But it's just an interesting dynamic where now, you know, in this modern time, we panic if, you know, you're using a gun to shoot cartoon characters in a video game. But not that long ago, kids were seeing and experiencing and living real violence in front of them, actual human lives being taken.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but they had to live with the consequence of the violence that they witnessed. It wasn't like today, children can see terribly violent content and it can mean nothing to them because it's like they see it on a screen. So then you have that removal. And I wonder what that does to your brain if you just see things like, I'm not saying video games, I'm talking more like, you know, the kind
like
of
stuff you might see on social media that pops up out of nowhere.
Right.
Right. Right.
I just wonder what that does to a child's brain when it's like, hey, here's something traumatizing, but you don't really have to live with the consequences of it. This is not something you're going to grapple with over time. You know, if a kid sees their dad beating their mom, like that's something they're going to have to deal with and going to have to process. Kids today can just see all of this horribly violent content and then move on with their day. And I just wonder what that does to them psychologically.
Yeah. And as I was walking through it, I'm trying to think through, because I saw that and it started just a chain of thoughts. And I was like, well, okay, well, all of those kids, just every generation, right? Going back to that, and I'm sure before that it was the same, right? Whether it was gladiators or just men fighting or whatever. But we still moved away from that, even though those generations saw it. And then every generation since has been going further away from that behavior as opposed to further into it. Does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. even though they saw it, the people that came after them got less of it. And then the people that came after that are getting less of it. And obviously now we're at the point we're getting way less than you would have 200 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. And I just find it fascinating that we got to the point where we have made progress despite those experiences being had, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if those experiences eventually over time are part of what drove the, we don't want to do this anymore. We don't want to see this anymore. We don't want this to be the world. And every generation tries to get a little bit better, but clearly it takes time. But think about the world 500 years ago, the world 2,000 years ago, and now.
It really is fascinating, just the study of the history of violence. And one of the most interesting times to me, and I'm not sure when it would have started, probably the 1700s, but like the English concept of the gentleman.
Yeah.
That you and I are both gentlemen, but I catch you staring at my wife and I call you out and I slap you with a white glove and then we're shooting each other in the chest.
Yes.
I mean, what a strange juxtaposition.
Or like just the, you know, the way you resolve a conflict. You own this land. I want it. So we're going to come fight you.
Yeah.
You know, like it's by the way, when we do that, there are rules and we're going to follow these very strict rules.
I'm sure the people who were conquered were like, that sucked. You guys are a-holes.
Yeah.
But in general, I don't think anyone, it wasn't like, I can't believe they took France. I mean, it's just like, oh, they took France. And, you know, like we come to the New World, we find natives here, and we're like, you know, it'd be great for you, Oklahoma.
Right.
No one, it seems, took up the cause of the Native Americans.
At
it was
the time.
Just, well, they're stronger and they got guns, they took it.
Yep. And while those things do still happen, right? I mean, we're witnessing some version of that. I don't know how you'd compare, but some version of that all over the world at any given point, right?
Speaking of that, and this isn't about Israel and Gaza. That's far too complicated for my pay grade. But why is it that you can look at Israel, other than the religion thing, and say promised by God? But if you just say that the Israelis were there in that land before, well, the Native Americans were on our land before, much more recently. So why doesn't anyone seem to go, well, they were here first and you just straight up took it from them, so this is their homeland?
That's a question I've asked about that particular conflict, but also about others in the past, too, is how far back do you go? What's the number of years you go back to, quote, reset?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a, that region has been nothing but
conflict and conquest for centuries. We tried to buy land from Mexico, and they told us no. We're like, okay, we'll just take it.
Now we're going to war.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that, and everything, like, I know you guys always laugh at me when I say, because I hate the royal family, because it's one of the only ones that still exists, but like that, what made them the royal family is that their ancestors were better at killing. And then accumulated more wealth because of that and could hire more soldiers and could have better, like that's what it is. So again, how far back do we go to quote unquote reset any of it? And you can't, I guess that's kind of my point.
Yeah.
You can't reset. What is the situation now? What are the rules in place in our current world? And how do we follow those rules and adjust those as we can? Mm-hmm. But you can't reset anything. There's no turning it around. There's no going back to it, right?
Although that's kind of what I think Putin is saying is that, yeah, well, Ukraine used to be ours and therefore it's ours.
And we all think he's wrong.
Exactly.
Because
it really does come down to what we think.
Right, right. And that's kind of the question about all of those kinds of conflicts is the people that want to go correct something. Well, how far back? Because everything was transferred from one group of people to another group of people
over
at some
over.
Point in history. And in some regions, Middle East in particular, a lot of that is transferring hands many, 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 many times from, you know, the Ottoman Empire to the British Empire to what, you know, I mean, like this constant change of, and it's, you know, it's not like it's happening every year, but over hundreds of years, there are different groups of people that are occupying various, look how much land the Roman Empire ran and owned at one point in time.
British.
Yeah, this is right.
Man, I mean, that, I'm like basically during our lifetimes.
And by the way, my argument is not, well, hail the conqueror. That's not the point. The point is that everything is preceded by something else.
Yeah.
And how do we decide? It's not a saying we can't, but the question is how do you decide the line is?
Imagine, I read an article the other day that China is hoarding natural resources because they plan on attacking us in the next 20 years. And they think in terms of centuries, not in terms of days. And let's say that they do it. And in the next 20 years, China invades us. They take us over. 200 years from now, when we're, you know, China East or West, whatever, you know, then people will just be like, well, yeah, I mean, you know, we took it fair and square.
I mean,
right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the real takeaway is, other than that basically human beings have always been kind of terrible.
Yeah. So Wheeler brought up a topic on the break I think would be interesting to talk about. Wheeler is very knowledgeable about baseball, very engaged in it, very fighty on Twitter. And Mason Wynn is not getting the start tonight.
That's right.
Even though and. I'm not a Twitter warrior. I'm not even online, but I would be one of those people who heard that Mason Wynn wasn't starting the first game of a pivotal series against the best team. He's our best hitter. He's our best defensive 18 player.
18-game hitting streak.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Yep.
You're putting Crawford in there. Come on. Get serious.
Yep.
Marmol's an idiot.
Yep.
I'd be one of those people.
Yeah, and what drives me crazy, though, is, Dave, you don't pretend to be the person that knows it all. And unfortunately, on Twitter, everybody pretends that they know it all. So you'll hear a thing like that, and like, I can't believe how stupid this manager is. How stupid can you be? You really think that a major league manager with all of the resources that they have just doesn't think that's a good idea to play the guy with the 18-game hitting streak? You don't think maybe there's... And here's the thing that drives me nuts about this, is that this has been covered with Mason Wynn now since spring training. He's been dealing with lower back stiffness that comes and goes. They have been giving him occasional days off when they can. And what most people in sports understand more now than they did before is that rest is very helpful. And it's even better when you can get back-to-back days of rest. So he got the day off yesterday because the team was off. If you get today off, now you've got back-to-back days, you reset, and you're better moving forward. And people never want to take into account the context of why a guy is out. He's probably out because this is how they're going to manage the back stiffness so that he can play all 6 months and not end up on the injured list. Do you want them to be like, nope, every day, every day, every day, every day, and then a month from now he's out for 3 weeks because it just gets so bad where you can't play through it? It's managing what is a very minor thing, but you don't want it to become a major thing. And the other part that drives me crazier, too, in the bigger context is this idea that you got to put your best lineup out there every day. No, you don't. That's stupid. And Tony La Russa didn't do it. Tony used to get so much crap the same way, right? Except, you know, when Tony, I was telling you during the break, Tony would do the manager show on KMOX. And the way that Ron Jacober related the story to me was Tony just said for about call, they took calls. That's all they did was take calls. He said, don't even ask them what they want to talk about. Just put them on. I'll just answer their questions. It's fine. And he would get those questions. I can't believe that on this Sunday, Tony, you had Aaron Miles in the lineup when you had a chance to go for the sweep. And then Tony would explain, look, number one, if you don't use your bench, they're not going to be ready to help you when you need them to help you at some point. So you have to play guys that are on your bench so that if somebody misses a week or 4 days, the guy stepping in hasn't been sitting on his ass for a month. And he would explain these things and he goes, and hey, what you don't know is that guy actually needed a day off because his back was hurting or his foot was barking or he was puking before the game. And what it just drives me crazy that people that are the diehards that follow every day, that tweet about it all the time, that are active on social media, just don't pay attention. Do you really think that they're stupid or are you maybe just not paying attention enough?
Welcome back, guys. DGS 335 on the dot. Dave Murray joins us as always. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
Dave, I was telling my stories of saving multiple humans, and you saved someone choking on steak, right?
Duck.
Oh, duck.
Right. So that's why we call him Choking Duck.
I like it.
That's his name.
That's
his nickname. Tony. And he, you know what? If I called him by his real name, he would be upset.
That's hilarious.
So is he Ducky? Like he'd be like, hey, Ducky.
Nope. He's Choking Duck. Just Choking Duck.
Oh. How close was that?
Well, he ended up in the hospital for 3 nights.
Whoa.
Holy moly.
It got stuck. It got stuck in his throat.
Damn.
I mean, big time. And it was a pretty good piece of duck.
Man, during this year, I was by myself and I took 2 sleep pills and they were like liquid gels. And they just got caught in a part of my face I didn't know I had. And I am choking and sputtering and puppy puking. And it was, and no one was there. Mm-hmm. And I was even trying to like Heimlich myself against the sink. There is no panic like that panic. Everyone's been through it to some extent. Everyone's choked on something or the whole hold up one finger, like, give me a minute. And I think a lot of people die because they're embarrassed.
Yeah.
You know, had there been someone there with me, I'd have been like, oh, 100% Heimlich me, whatever you need to do.
It's a frightening time for the person who has to save him, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, oh, if I don't do this right, I might not save him, but I could also crack his ribs.
Right. We're the real victims.
and the real heroes. Don't forget that.
Victims and heroes all at once.
Right. The common theme of today, right? So some rain later on tonight?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got some unsettled weather. It's not going to last real long. It's probably, you know, the steadier rain is from, I think after 8 o'clock, we're living on borrowed time here in the immediate St. Louis area. But let's say from 8 until noon tomorrow, that's our wet time. Otherwise, we've got a lot of dry time this weekend. There's a batch of showers very slowly moving our way from the southwest. It's basically southwest of an Owensville-Sullivan-Bonterre line. Really struggling moving our way, and that's why I think we'll squeeze a couple of hours out here on the dry side. But if you have evening plans, again, after 8 o'clock, expect some shower activity. Scattered showers and thunderstorms in the morning on Saturday should be done by about noontime. This is not a severe weather event. We'll have some rumbles of thunder. There'll be some heavy downpours from time to time, but this is not severe. I think we get a lot of dry time tomorrow afternoon, 77 for the high. Saturday night is fine. Saturday evening is fine. Sunday, gorgeous. Plenty of sunshine, but warmer, 85. And then back to scattered showers and thunderstorms late Sunday night during the day on Monday. And it does look like the northwest flow is going to come back at us after a couple of warm days on Sunday, Monday, probably Tuesday. And that should increase our chances of some severe weather come about Tuesday night, Wednesday of next week.
Dave, what is our chances of getting some pretty good accumulating rain tonight?
Real good.
Okay.
Real good. Yeah, I think most of us, we could probably easily see an inch of rain.
Wow. All right. Good enough. Headlines, Rach.
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right. We have a new Scripps National Spelling Bee champion. It's a 12-year-old named Bruhat Soma of Tampa, Florida. The winning word was abseil, which means a descent in mountaineering by means of a rope looped over a projection above.
Did you see the video of this?
No.
So they have a new thing they're doing. It used to just be like, Wheeler, you spell this, I'll spell this. First guy that misses, the other guy wins. Right. Now they have this thing where they have, I'm going to get it wrong.
The lightning round.
And this kid, it's amazing. He had his hands out in front of him, and he would type it on an imaginary typewriter.
Wow.
Yeah, or keyboard.
Yeah.
And these were words, I'm not trying to be funny, I had never heard a single word.
Right.
Every word was like, and he would just, he would type it out, and he would spell it, and he did something like 29 out of 30.
He did 29 out of 30 words in 90 seconds.
It was incredible.
How do you spell it, Rachel?
A-B-S-E-I-L.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's one of those things where if you've never...
Or if you get one letter out of place.
Right. Right.
Yeah, because it'd be easy to get one letter out of place in that.
Yep.
Along with the trophy, he will receive $50,000 in cash and prizes.
Good for the
nice.
Kid.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
What are the prizes?
I don't know. I assume they're all spelling themed.
Dave, do you know about our own spelling bee champ?
No.
Andrew?
I got the trophy right there in the desk.
Mm-hmm.
What was the hardest word?
I don't remember. I was two. No, I wasn't two. I was seven.
I was two. I was two doing spelling bees.
Second grade.
Now, do you acknowledge that you oversold it?
No.
He said he was winning against eighth graders.
I did, and I was.
You, at the age of seven, you won a spelling bee against a 14-year-old.
13-year-old, and yes.
Okay.
Are you still a good speller?
Not as good.
He's regressed.
Not as good as when you're seven.
They got a lot of new words nowadays.
Yeah. Everything goes around 7 years old.
This is kind of a sad story. Shiloh Jolie Pitt is dropping her surname of Pitt. She just turned 18 this month.
That would crush me.
I know. It's very sad. She filed paperwork on Monday to request a name change, specifically to drop the Pitt part so she can simply be Shiloh Jolie.
And let me just fall on my sword. I know the problem is Angelina Jolie, and I have no idea. Right?
Right?
No one knows.
Oh, you think? Right.
No one knows what anyone's like behind closed doors.
Right.
I don't know what the Murrays are like. I don't know what the Wheelers are like. No one knows. You think you know everyone's story, you don't know it. And yet, just because I like Brad Pitt in Ocean's 11, I'm like, oh, that Angelina.
There's no way Achilles would be the bad guy.
I think he's getting extra goodwill, too, because he's a Missouri boy, and you just don't want to believe any of the bad things that have been said about him. But, I mean, it's just anytime a child is like, I don't want your name anymore, Dad, that is
devastating.
Pretty devastating. Yeah. The Chiefs are visiting the White House today. I just looked for some updates on it because I wasn't sure what time it was happening. But people are saying, oh, it's going to be tense because what's his
name?
Yeah. He just said all this stuff about Biden and he's expected to come to the White House.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
What do you think? Like they think Biden's going to be waiting for him at the door?
Hey,
Mr. Butker, come over here, buddy.
Tesla's recalling more than 125,000 vehicles to fix the seatbelt warning system. It's supposed to provide audible and visual seatbelt reminder signals to drivers to alert them that their seatbelt isn't fastened.
Do you think we're just hyper-focused on Musk, or do you think he just designed some really crap cars? It always seems to be something.
I don't think he's designed crap cars, but I think in his rush to... I think in Tesla's rush to be like, we're the best, we're the cutting edge, things like this fall through the cracks pretty often. I mean, it feels like every time you turn around, they're recalling them for one reason or another.
Saw another Cybertruck.
Oh, yeah. Did you?
Mm-hmm.
I saw one.
It looks so crazy.
Yeah. They are so ugly.
They are. I agree.
Rachel likes them.
Yeah,
she
thinks
cool.
They're awesome.
They're future. I mean, that's the point of them is they're supposed to look futuristic. Yeah. And I think they're neat. I don't want one. I can't afford one. And even if I could, I wouldn't waste my money on that. But I don't know. I think they're okay.
Is that why on the rundown it says our Cybertruck's pretty?
What's that? Okay.
It looks like a giant cardboard box.
Cardboard box.
Made of metal.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. The Cardinals and McDonald's are going to offer Cardinals tickets for as low as $6. This offer includes tickets to summer matchups against the Royals, the Braves, the Rangers, and the Reds, among other teams. Just thought that was kind of cool. You can go to the Cardinals.com to learn more.
Remind me about Big Mac Land. If they hit it into Big Mac Land, does everyone in the stadium or just the people in Big Mac Land get a free Big Mac?
I don't know. Is that still a thing?
Is it?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, Big Mac Land is still up there.
It is.
Design anyway.
Yeah.
When I was little, I thought they named it the Big Mac because of Mark McGuire.
I can see why you'd think that.
Yeah, growing up here.
That's kind of when it came about, was during that run.
Yeah, like that's like my Mandela effect. Like, I swear I had seen that somewhere.
Well, I think you're probably right. I mean, it's clearly a McDonald's Big Mac, but I think it went up during the McGuire era, so you're probably both right.
No, the land, yes, that was because of McGuire.
I thought he named the burger.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I thought the burger was named after
50 years late.
Yeah, no, sorry. One time I was in line at White Castle. And I was a heavier gentleman, and I was wearing a ball cap, and another man thought I was Mark McGuire, and he was so mad at me because I wouldn't sign something for him. And he was like, "Don't be like this, Mark McGuire. Mark McGuire, why are you doing this to me, Mark McGuire?" And I rolled down and I'm like, "Dude, I am not Mark McGuire. I even told him who I was. Like, who's going to pretend to not be Mark McGuire, right?"
Also be like, Mark McGuire is 6'5".
Yeah, I was in the car. Yeah. So.
Oh, did he believe you once you were like, it's not him?
He to this day.
He really thought so, huh?
He's telling that story to this day.
Oh, can't believe Mark McGuire blew me off.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Joe Manchin is leaving the Democratic Party and has registered as an independent. His decision could allow him to run for governor or try for another Senate term this fall after ruling out doing so as a Democrat.
Yeah, if he doesn't run for something, he should go outside and practice falling down because he needs his ass kicked.
I think he's just one of those people who every couple of months is like, I could use a little attention.
I think you're right.
And my final story here, this could have been involved in fast food news, but I decided to save it for regular headlines. Amazon Prime now includes a Grubhub food delivery subscription. So in the past, I think last year, they just tacked it on like a year Grubhub premium thing if you're a Prime member. Well, now it's a lifetime. If you have Amazon Prime, you also have a free Grubhub subscription. Hmm. Kind of cool.
I just saw, speaking of fast food news, that Domino's is now available on Uber Eats.
Oh.
For all the people who love Domino's.
Oh, it's been available for a while.
Has it?
I don't think so. They did a news story on it in Fox 2 anyway. So,
I don't know where I ordered it.
I've never used any of the food delivery services. So what is
never?
Never.
Of course,
not once. I mean, I've had pizza delivered to my house.
I've ordered three things during the show.
What does a subscription get you?
Free delivery, usually, and then they usually, like, if you order something, it'll be like a food processing fee or something stupid like that.
They're just lowering their fees because you gave them the money in advance.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's the way that one works.
Thank you, Dave. Have a great weekend.
You too.
353 DGS. Our buddy Bo Matthews is going to be here at the top of the hour to play some Halfwits. Andrew, tell people how to get lots of meat at Chipotle.
Well, okay, so I want to know what you guys think about this. I'm a little conflicted on it. I think a lot of people are conflicted on it. It's the Chipotle filming method. I have some audio. It's not really that good. It's just kind of the guy going through, and it's mostly a visual thing. But the idea is when you go to a place like Chipotle, like a place where they serve you in a bowl style, you film them while they are scooping your portions. The idea being they don't want the negative press or publicity that would come along with a video that's like, look
evidently,
at them
ownership
out of
said,
portions.
Load them up.
Yeah.
That's the story, right?
If they're filming.
If they're filming.
Load them up.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a confirmed fact. I know that that's what people seem to think because people are claiming that if you film them while you are.
What are you conflicted about?
That seems awfully confrontational to me.
Agree.
I'm not a big fan of doing that sort of thing. I'll take a little less meat over me not like getting in your face and going, aren't you going to give me more? Aren't you going to give me more chicken? Like, just eat the food that they give you. Like,
you're making a great point. Like, at a certain point, you care too much. You have too much riding on this Chipotle.
I really hated the rule that Dairy Queen had for a while, which was if they didn't show you that they could turn the blizzard upside down.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that because it added an element of confrontation to the ice cream. Like, you'd be in the drive-thru
like,
and they'd
see
be
this?
Like, yeah, they'd be like, hey, look at me. Eyes on me. See this? Here you go. Because otherwise you'd get a free one. And it's like, I don't want everyone to hate me so much. Get an ice cream.